720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. You know, that the opening stanza, well, yeah, it's not exactly the beginning of the song, but it's where it really kicks in. That's the Elton John version of The Who's tune, Pinball Wizard, which contains in its lyrics, I thought I was the bally table king, but I just handed my pinball crown to him. That's the same bally we're talking about who wants to open a casino. And with us from the Chicago Tribune is Robert Chanik. Good evening, Robert. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Good to be here. I like that reference, too.
Yeah, that has been running through my head all day after I read your article, because you really put into perspective the history behind ballys that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, because there's been so much concentration on their application for a casino and where it stands today and the Medina Temple and all the things that are in the current news. But here I see your article, and I'm looking at it, and it says founded in 1932 as a Chicago-based pinball manufacturer. And I saw that in your article, and I went, wait a minute, Pinball Wizard, the bally table king. I mean, that in itself is a testament to their image and their name to have it included in a song written by The Who and then recorded by Elton John. And it's not often that video or gamers, shall we say, get included in rock lyrics, but in this case it fits.
And they actually, as long as we're into the obscurity of all the history of ballys,
yeah,
they had a hand in a less artful song in the early 80s, Pac-Man Fever. Remember
oh,
that?
Sure, of course.
unfortunately, it's still stuck in my brain somewhere. But.
Yeah, it's what do they call that? An earwig or an earworm or something?
Earworm, I think.
Yeah. Now we can't get it. Now that's all I'm going to be thinking about for the rest of the night.
I'm sorry to do that to
you. No, that's okay. So, indeed, yeah. The pinball was their initial business effort, and as you say, it was founded here in 1932. That is something that I think a lot of people are unaware of. And where did it go from there?
I spent several days, digging in and trying to put all the pieces together. And it wasn't all in one tidy place, because this company has had a lot of different ventures over the years and split. And, you'll see, it's kind of crazy. But they, gaming was the beginning, and they did in the 50s kiddie rides, arcade games. They also built slot machines, which is how they started getting their hands in the gambling business. And the fellow who founded it, he died, this Ray Maloney, in 1958, left his business to his sons, but it didn't really do very well, and they sold it to an investor group, which really built the sort of diversified modern-day ballys that a lot of people may be familiar with. And that's when it sort of went into all these different directions, from gambling, always had a hand in pinball. And, in fact, when pinball games became video games, ballys was behind Space Invaders and Pac-Man, the old arcade versions of those in the late 70s, early 80s, which, of course, spawned that Pac-Man Fever song, which we shouldn't have brought up. and then it went on from there. I mean, they got into the casino business in the late 70s, where they, that's when they began. They opened their first casino in Atlantic City, Bally's Park Place, which, as long as I'm rambling on, I actually had the pleasure of visiting in the early 80s when it was in its heyday. And it was really pretty nice back in the day when it first opened, certainly.
We're talking to Robert Chanik from the Chicago Tribune in an article about basically the lineage of the Bally Corporation. And I do want to back up a bit to World War II. And could you tell us how Bally's shifted to help the defense effort? Because I think that's an interesting historical note.
Yeah, it is. And I'm reading along my own story, because it's a lot of stuff to follow, so forgive me, but I'm scrolling back.
No. That's okay. Yeah. That's all right.
But they, during the war, a lot of manufacturers, pitched in and helped out. And, they shifted to making detonator fuses, gun sights, things like that. They actually used government funding to expand their plant on West Belmont. And interestingly enough, it kind of put them in good shape to grow the business post-World War II, because they had a bigger facility and, you know, ability to kind of branch out into the things we mentioned, the kiddie rides, the arcade games, things like that, and slot machines, which became a huge part of their business.
Well, looking back all the way to 1932 and coming up to the current day and all the items that you mentioned in this article that transpires during that time frame, and all the how many times has Bally's gone under? How many times have they gone bankrupt?
I would have to get out my calculator.
But it's like two or three, yeah. Isn't it? Something along those
several
lines.
Several times. Yeah. They went under a few times.
And as you said, the originator of the company passed away, Ray Maloney. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm getting to is, although these ramifications and being bankrupt and being in this business and that business and the health club business and the casinos, the name has stayed the same. What do you attribute that to?
That's a really good question. I think it's funny when you bring up the Who song. I mean, you know, it's been a part of culture for so long. And they were so, you know, you talk about pinball machines, you know, those things kind of stick with people. I think that was a big part of it, the pinball machines. And I do think, you know, they had some pretty high profile casinos for decades. So that, and then I think they pretty much everyone on the planet Earth was a member of Bally's Health Clubs at one point or another. I think, I don't know. They had pretty aggressive marketing. So you add that in, and you think they've touched a lot of lives, at least people that are old enough to remember any of those things.
Right, right. I suppose.
Yeah.
Well,
and yeah.
No, backs up what I'm saying. I think is that. Okay, you have a pinball manufacturer, you have a casino proprietor, and you have a health club. I mean, it's almost like if you were setting up a joke, the health club would be the punchline because that was the first item. I mean, somebody must, in their management or wherever these decisions are made, had a very open mind to diversifying, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yeah, that was a big part of the strategy. Is you know, they also they owned Six Flags Great America for a while.
Right, man. Oh man.
And the one that was most obscure, and I give credit to a reader because we actually posted this timeline a few months ago for the first time and went in print this week. And of course, Bally's just filed its license,
right,
you know, with the state, so
yes,
it's very topical.
Yeah.
But somebody brought up, and I had to dig this one up, that they owned the Barnaby's pizza chain locally for a brief time. I know, and they had this ambition to turn it into a national chain. You know, they were sort of a little bit like Showbiz Pizza with the animatronic,
right,
you know. They just thought there was room for this arcade themed chain, and they did a few restaurants, which some folks might remember in the early 80s, called the Tomfoolery restaurants. That was, you know, they bought these Barnaby's, and then they started converting them to these Tomfoolery arcade restaurants. The whole thing got good reviews, by the way. I found a Tribune review from Phil Vitale back in the day who said it was actually
Phil Vitale
kind of fun.
Yeah.
I know, but they didn't make it. And and I think some of the Barnaby's owners that sold, you know, like the franchise, they bought it back, and there's still a Barnaby's, you know, dotting all over the. So there's one in Northfield. I know I hit that now and then, but for a little while they were supposed to be the start of a big national chain under the Bally's banner. Just
well,
didn't pan out.
Although I'm not saying anything actually happened for sure, and everything is alleged. You know, there's a lot of when you mention gambling casinos. There's sometimes a stereotype of maybe some mob involvement. Was there any? And I'm certainly not saying they are, because I don't even think Bally's now is Bally's. I think it's probably a hedge fund,
right,
or something like that.
It is, actually.
It is a hedge fund.
Yeah, there's a hedge fund to it, and it's they kind of bought the name a couple of years ago, which is an interesting little part of the story. But yeah, in the 60s. When the family sold its interest, there was a Bally employee named William O'Donnell, and he bought the company that became this giant diversified, you know, corporation for $1.2 million in 1963. And, you know, he leveraged the, they were, he turned them into the largest maker of slot machines. That was, you know, part of their business.
There
he
you
focused
go.
On that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when they decided, and you know, he, this fellow was running it through the Space Invaders and Pac-Man era in the 70s and 80s, and he was in it for a while. They went public back in 69, so I mean, it was quite an enterprise already. In 79, they opened their first Bally's Casino. It was really, you know, you think about it, that's almost 60 years after the company was founded. They'd had a hand in gambling, but they got into the casino business in 79, and that's when the New Jersey, this is Bally's Park Place in Atlantic City, New Jersey investigators allege that some of the investors in that 1963 group had mob ties, and they more or less forced this O'Donnell to step down before they would award the that casino license. So that was the sort of mob tie story that got the most press.
We're talking to Robert Chanik from the Chicago Tribune, and as you can tell, he's got the history of Bally's pretty much wrapped up, but we haven't wrapped it up with him. We'll take a break and be back on 720 WGN. Sorry, Robert.
Done it. Now you've done it. The whole city's going to have Pac-Man fever.
720 WGN. Yeah, Pac-Man, part of the Bally history. The Bally who, if you will. We're talking to Robert Chanik from the Chicago Tribune, who had a great article about the history of Bally's, and now we've got Bally's on the front page. In the time remaining, I want to see if I get this right. Okay, so they've had all of these various ups and downs. They've had bankruptcy. And this is not the first time that Bally's has attempted to come into Chicago, right? I'm looking at about, in your article, 1992. What was the story there?
Well, if you remember, and I do, when the state legalized riverboat gambling back in the day, right?
Yeah,
it cruise up and down the various waterways. Chicago wanted to get in the game, and Bally's made a pitch. One of the previous incarnations of Bally's made a pitch to build the Chicago casino. They were already having a ton of financial trouble at several of the casinos. It wasn't, you know, in the best financial shape. And as we know, that casino took 30 years to come to fruition. I mean, so, you know, it was just kind of a lark, but they were in the mix 30 years ago when it first was, you know, the subject first came up about, can we get a casino into Chicago?
And as I mentioned, you know, the ups and downs, I think the latest, now hold on a second. They declared bankruptcy in 2007. They settled with the SEC and then filed for bankruptcy again in 2008. Has there been any since then? Has there been more of that kind of activity?
Well, just so I don't miss the real key to all this, the casino, you know, they split into a casino company and a health club company. I don't know when. That was in the 90s, I believe. And so you had two different Bally's. Bally's Casino sold to the company that became Caesars. It was Hilton at first. So it lived on, and there were a few Bally's. There was a Bally's in Vegas still, and the Bally's in New Jersey under the Caesars brand. I hope I'm not getting that wrong. It gets complicated, like I say.
Yeah, no kidding.
But
absolutely.
So the Bally's Casino Company sold. The health club is the one that sort of lived on the longest. And that lasted into the new millennium, but they had a ton of financial trouble, some investigations about unscrupulous membership practices, which is why I think everyone somehow was a member at one point, whether they wanted to be or not. I'm kidding, of course. But by, you know, this, in fact, I was on the business staff then. We were writing about sort of the final chapter for the health club version, like around 2011. Yeah, that was it. They sold their chain to LA Fitness, and there really was no Bally's, you know, a company at that point. And that's when this hedge fund, Standard General, a guy named Soo Kim, they had gotten in the casino business. They bought a sort sort of obscure company called Twin River, based out of Rhode Island, and they had the good idea. I think it was when they bought the Park Place Hotel and Casino, and then said, "Can we get the name too?" And it's turned out to be a great, you know, marketing and promotional thing for them to sort of bring back a name that a lot of people remember. They rebranded their company. They've been growing rapidly. But the whole point of it is it's a name. You know, they bought a name,
right?
I think it was in 2020,
yeah,
that has this incredible history.
Yes.
But it has really almost no connection to the Bally's
right.
pinball machine we started with
right.
you know, 90 years ago. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Robert. It was a great article, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us tonight, especially since the fact that this... the history of Bally's is on the front page today. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Robert. Thank you.
You bet. It was a pleasure. Right. Thanks.
Robert Chanik from the Chicago Tribune. How about that? So, yeah, there's a Bally's, but it has absolutely no relationship to the Bally's when it started.